Continuing, Chapter 5 of Canto 1. This morning we'll be reading texts 25 and 26. Yesterday we read about Narada in his previous life, beginning to associate with the Veda Vadinam, the followers of the Vedas, or Bhakti Vedantas, and he did so from a position of the son of a Shudrani, very humble, meager position. But because he was a small boy doing that service, he had the opportunity to associate very intimately with them. And the text that we discussed yesterday was the qualities that Narada had. That were especially suited for receiving the association. Do you remember what those qualities were? Obedient, disciplined, self-controlled. Those are the three that were mentioned yesterday. You have another one? Yeah. Yes. Did not speak more than required. Another one was he wasn't naughty. But what Prabhupada places at the bottom of that, the purport of that verse, is these three things. He doesn't say only three, but these three things in particular are essential, like imperative. Without them, one cannot be successful in receiving the mercy of elevated souls. And without getting that mercy of elevated souls, one can't progress, one can't go back to Godhead. So, he then takes it to the next step. So he was receiving. He had some nice qualities for a young boy, and he's receiving their mercy. Then the next event is described as receiving the prasad, taking remnants of their foodstuffs. But he goes right away to, in these two verses, 25-26, using the word ruchi. And ruchi is a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. There's nine stages in the gradual evolution or unfolding of bhakti. And ruchi means taste, and it's very advanced. Who knows what those stages are? Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Vajana Kriya, Nartana Vritti, Nishtha. Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. So it's beyond the stage of, Ruchi is beyond the stage of Anartana Vritti, which is pretty good. We're going to be hanging out in the Anartana Vritti stage for a while, most likely. So what brought that purification about was this receiving of mercy, and then specifically the mention is receiving of prasad, the remnants of foodstuffs offered that they had taken. Prabhupada writes, the Bhaktivedantas were pure devotees, and the boy became infected with their qualities of purity by their association and by eating once the remnants of the foodstuffs taken by them. Such remnants may be taken even without permission of the pure devotees. I spent some time this morning discussing that potency of prasad of the Vaishnavas. Do you know the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kalidas and his taking of prasad? You know that story? Huh? Okay. You're familiar with that story? Yes? Huh? A little bit. Okay. I'll describe it a little bit. Kalidas was a pure devotee, and he was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. So we know that it's repeated many times that the father and uncle of Raghunath Das, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, were fabulously wealthy Vaishnavas. They were Vaishnavas. Brahmana Vaishnavas. Very, very qualified persons. But apparently there's another brother. Doesn't say exactly how he was uncle, but another brother whose name was Kalidas, and he was a pure devotee. His attribute wasn't specifically his wealth, but his attribute was his pure devotion. And he was always chanting Krishna's name. Always chanting Krishna's name. Always chanting, in pure devotion, always chanting Krishna's name. It's mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that he would, in a joking manner, he would sometimes chant the holy name while throwing dice and chant Krishna's name. And the commentary says we shouldn't imitate Kalidas. Throw dice and chant Krishna's name. But he was, you know, he was absorbed in the holy name, and he had a transcendental mood. He had great faith in the holy name. He had great faith in the Vaishnavas, and he had great faith in the prasad of the Vaishnavas. So he took a vow, and the vow was that he would take the prasad of every Vaishnava in Bengal. And during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can you imagine how many Vaishnavas there were in Bengal? And then Bengal wasn't just what it is today, it was much bigger. Bangladesh and so on, big, 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 big. He took a vow, every home. So what Krishnadas Kaviraj decides to do to describe that, he says, I'll give you one example. And from this one example, you can understand that in every home in Bengal where Vaishnav reside, the same thing repeated itself in a different form. So one time he went to the home of Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur was not a Brahmana. Doesn't specifically say what his caste was. Gives his Gotra, but he was a lower caste person. So when a Brahmana were to pay a visit to the home of a low class or lower caste person, he used to receive the Brahmana, but he would then make arrangements for a brahmana to do cooking, and the brahmana who did the cooking would then, the remnants of what the brahmana cooked would be offered to the brahmana guest. So when Kalidas came to Jada Thakur's home, he was so happy to see him. Such an elevated personality. He's known, well-known, pure devotee, has come to my home. I'm so fortunate. How can I serve you? And Kalidas said, you can serve me by placing your feet upon my head, please, to purify my existence. And Jada Thakur said, why are you speaking like this? I'm a low-class person. You're a brahmana. Shouldn't tease like this. This isn't nice. No, I mean it. I'd like you to place your feet upon my head. And they said, I'll make some arrangement for some brahmana's cooking to be brought here so you can take prasad, so I can honor you properly. He said, no, I want to take your prasad. He said, stop this. Why are you carrying on this way? This isn't right. And then, because Jada Thakur was also a Vaishnava, he knew the teachings of Vaishnava way of life. And so when the Brahmana Kalidas began quoting verse after verse after verse after verse after verse, of it doesn't matter what one's body is born in, what family one's body is born in, if one is chanting the holy name, all sinful reactions are completely taken away and one is situated in the topmost platform. Verse after verse after verse. He quoted. And then he reasoned, that this isn't there, but it's Prabhupada reasons. It works the other way also. That is, Ajamila was a high quality brahmana, but by bad association he became abominable. Not just he lost his caste, but he became abominable. And same by in the reverse, by association, by good association and mercy, one can become a brahmana. This Krishna never says in Bhagavad Gita that Chaturvarnam Maya Shrishtam Janma Karma Swabhavajam. It's guna, not janma. By one's quality and one's work, one's position in society is to be understood. And quality can be trained. Quality can become established by receiving good association and mercy. So that's what happened to Narada. Received that association, and then he received the prasad. So Jada Thakur was presented with a mango and a banana leaf to put the mango on, and said, can you please offer this to your deity? He was a worshiper of a particular deity, Madan Gopal deity. And then you take prasad and I'll take your remnants. And he refused. So, Kalidas went and from some distance watched, and the wife offered and gave to her husband, and the remnants she took. And then the pit of the mango and the skin of the mango and the banana leaf upon which the whole thing was offered to Krishna, she discarded it. And the biodegradable rubbish pile. And he was hiding behind a tree, and then he came out from behind the tree and took the banana leaf and licked the banana leaf and sucked the mango pit and chewed the skin of the mango that his wife had discarded. being very, very happy to take their prasad. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in this way, in every home of all Vaishnavas in Bengal, he did the same. He fulfilled his vow. Because he had great faith. And through that, he also gained great realization and great purification. So two things. Later, when he went to Puri, as the devotees would each year go to Puri for Rath Yatra and spend the 4 months of rainy season there. One time, he was waiting outside the Singhadwar gate to go into the Jagannath temple, and Mahaprabhu was washing his feet, and the water from his feet were going into a trench outside, where pilgrims would come and wash their feet and go inside. So Jadu Thakur was holding with his hands cupped beneath the feet of Mahaprabhu, who refused to allow anyone to do this, but he allowed Jadu Thakur. There's a description earlier in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. So much water was being splashed everywhere, and the water coming off the body of Mahaprabhu like Abhishek. So one Bengali Vaishnav scooped up a bunch and began drinking. And Mahaprabhu sent him out of the place. You offender. He was strict. But he allowed Jadu Thakur three times, three palmfuls, to take the water and drink. And when it came to the fourth palmful, he said to Kalidas, haven't you had enough, Kalidas? Please stop. Then another time is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Kalidas brought a plate of Mahaprasad from Jagannath temple for Mahaprabhu to accept. And then he went as if he was going to leave, but he didn't go to leave. He went by the side of Gambira and was looking through the window to see, to watch Mahaprabhu take the prasad. And Mahaprabhu called Govinda, his servant, and said, Kalidas wants remnants. He's watching from the window. So after I finished, give the entire plate to him. Kalidas was very happy. Demonstrating to Mahaprabhu his great faith in the prasad, he gave his own prasad from his feet and from his mouth to Kalidas. And he was already on a platform of pure devotion, but he received that special mercy from Mahaprabhu. So it's kind of a fast forward. He's a small boy. He's getting some association. He hears from them. He receives their mercy. And that's kind of like sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anarta nivritti, nishtha. And then all the way he's in the ruchi stage. Not exactly in the ruchi stage, but it's that language is used. Atma ruchi. He developed an attraction, a transcendental attraction for the association of these great souls. Not just like a small boy, affectionate adult, kind of, you know, a human, worldly kind of affection, but a transcendental affection, a transcendental taste for their association. And through their association means an attraction for Krishna. Because what do? They were talking about Krishna. They're Bhaktivedantas. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of Godhead's name, fame, quality, pastimes, etc. Infection of the qualities of pure of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion. So, through there, that's what he got from them. They had taste, he got taste. They had attraction, he had attraction. Through their association. This transcendental taste at once makes all material things distasteful. That's the spiritual principle. That attraction to Krishna means detached from matter, unattracted. Taste for transcendental life, devotional service, makes all material things pale. Just like unimportant. Insignificant. One devotee in New York was describing, this was like, you know, a professional. Why would people want to live in New York anyways? It's such a intense city. One of the reasons people like is there's cultural things, intellectual things, the opera and the Philharmonic and the, you know, in Broadway and off Broadway and, you know, in people come and make presentations on things. So it's like there's a lot of intellectual stimulation and cultural stimulation. It's one of the reasons why people like to live in such a place like that, New York. So somebody was a professional that was describing that for years they had a dear friend, and once a year that dear friend, they had this thing that they did together. They'd go hear a poetry reading or some music recital or something, you know, like culturally stimulating. And then this devotee became a devotee. So then their friend was saying, it's that time of the year. Let's go do our thing. And they were processing, you know, how to respond to this, because I don't have any interest anymore. It's not that, you know, Maharaj said, don't go there. That attraction has paled. It's just, I don't want to go. I feel some obligation to my friend because of our friendship, but even, you know, the basis of our friendship is just that. Doing those intellectually stimulating things together without any spiritual substance. So I decided, I told them, look, my life is going in a different direction now. I can't go and do these things anymore. They felt, you know, the other person felt badly. What's happened to you? You're always so fun to be with. You're not fun anymore. But it happens. It's inversely proportionate, as you know, in mathematics. So, or physics. So it's as attraction for Krishna or as taste for Krishna grows, taste for other things pale. They become insignificant. Therefore, a pure devotee is not at all attracted by material activities. After the elimination of all sins or obstacles on the path of devotional service, one can become attracted. One can have steadiness. One can have perfect taste. One can have transcendental emotions, and at last one can be situated in the plane of loving service to the Lord. Those the same stages we outlined. So, how to get on the other side of our material desires or our attractions for mundane things? For most of us, perhaps for all of us, there's some things we can easily let go of. And there's some things that we kind of like or just attached and it practically addicted. On the plane coming here, there was one of the passengers had a black t-shirt and big white letters, addicted. We're addicted to, habituated to, we can't get rid of the habit of trying to be an enjoyer of material energy, of, you know, our particular favorite varieties of enjoyments, which isn't really enjoyable in the long run. It's not really what enjoyment is. Therefore, it's not enjoyable at all. A sense buzz, and then the sense misery. It's just, that's the design of this world. So, to go beyond those things, those material attractions, the principles are being established. Narada is explaining through his own life how the process of bhakti unfolds, which is to instruct Vyas to compile a literature that explains how bhakti unfolds. The Bhagavatam. Step by step. So, this word ruchi appears in the next verse also, text 26. O Vyasadeva, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, being thus, and thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. Anupadam. At every step. It's the example that's given again and again by Srila Prabhupada is in a jaundiced condition, that which is sweet tastes bitter. Misery tastes bitter. I had a practical experience one time when I had jaundice. Long ago, but bitter. But rock candy's not bitter. Rock candy is solid, sweet, but it tastes bitter. So it's a very appropriate example. After the taking of the medicine, then the sweetness you can taste. It's naturally sweet. Similarly, in the jaundice-like condition of material existence, that which is all attractive, we have no attraction for. To do is, well, it's like medicine. You don't wake up in the morning and think, oh, I can't wait till I take my medicine. It's medicine. You take your medicine. But that medicine is intended to bring a healthy state. And the healthy state of the living being in relation to Krishna is there's taste. But unless one becomes cured of the disease or purified, then there's no taste. But Narada is describing through that association and through taking of prasad, where the reactions of all of his sins were eradicated, he was able to hear very attentively. And by hearing very attentively, his taste grew. So Prabhupada explains that in the purport, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all attractive. And he has different opulences, and each of his opulences are attractive. And then he engages with his opulences and his paraphernalia and his devotees and performs attractive pastimes. And we hear those attractive pastimes, the mind becomes attracted, naturally. And sometimes he comes into this world to display those pastimes. So even ordinary people, the jaundice-like people, can see those pastimes. And hear the description of those pastimes. Just like two examples. Rukmini and Muchukunda. Both of them had never seen Krishna, but had heard about Krishna. And from hearing about Krishna, they became very attached to Krishna. King Muchukunda, when Krishna came into the cave and Kaliyavana was crisped into ashes, and then he saw Krishna because Krishna was effulgent, and so it was a dark cave, but he could see Krishna, and he didn't know who he was. He's his worshipable Lord, but he didn't know who he was because he had only heard of him. But he had become transcendentally attracted. And then gradually Krishna disclosed who he was. Muchukunda was so embarrassed. Didn't even recognize my Lord. And Rukmini, she gave her heart to Krishna just by hearing about him. So these are the ways of great devotees. But one can be just by hearing. The point is, just by hearing, all material affinity can be taken away, and genuine love, deep, genuine feelings of love can awaken just by hearing. Unfortunately, Prabhupada explains, people are used to hearing rubbish things. They give them nice names. Histories and science and so many things. Biographies of somebody or other, Davy Crockett, the Alamo, and anyway, I was just in Seattle area, Lewis and Clark. These names don't mean anything to you, but they're, you know, American heroes. They traveled all across the Northwest and discovered so many things. You know, a trail that they followed, the Lewis and Clark Trail. It's like, you know, big deal in American history. Where are they now? How many Indians did they kill in the course of their travel? And how many, anyway, how many atrocities did they commit in becoming famous? So, people are inclined to hear different subject matters. And if those subject matters can become transcendental subject matters from the association of transcendental personalities, if somehow that can be fortunately arranged, then purification. Even, you know, we have no taste, purification will come. And through that purification, clearing of sins, restoring of the transcendental nature, like we discussed the sun. We didn't discuss here. The sun is intense light and heat. But from our perspective, if the sun is blocked by a cloud, the intense light and heat doesn't come through. You know, it's something different than night. It's daytime, but it can be very covered. And the intense rays you don't experience. Similarly, the living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna is the supreme conscious being. But due to the covering of Maya, that quality of the living entity, part and parcel living entity of their full stage of eternity, bliss, and knowledge is obscured. And the process of sadhu sangha, just as Narada is describing, it's powerful. It removes sins. It removes coverings of the soul. So the innate capacity of the soul becomes restored. That's very nice. It's very natural. It's very pleasing. Not hard, abrasive, rough, painful. It's very natural. The pain is only, you know, our mental stuff when we don't want our rubbish to go away. We're attached to some rubbish. Some distraction. And that's painful. Thus, clearing all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. The whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. Narada Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss, and he can travel all over the material and spiritual worlds without restriction. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources, as Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, Bhaktivedantas, in the previous life. Prabhupada is setting, you know, the parallel. Why concern ourselves with Narada's life? Because, you know, that was so long ago, and that was Narada, not us, and woe is me. I'm just stuck in Davis, California, and what can I do? I'm not Narada. Maybe another lifetime. But the principles apply equally to all of us. And Narada showing through his life, this is the principle that applies. This is how you, Vyas, can do the same. And Vyas, you can describe how others can do the same because you're the author for all the persons of the world. The principles are being disclosed. So, association, these nice qualities, not being too talkative, being self-controlled, is part of it, being self-controlled, not being too talkative. Obedient, very obedient. Prabhupada writes, disciplined, in general, peaceful disposition, and attracted to spiritual association, receive spiritual association, honoring of remnants of Vaishnavas, prasad, and attentive hearing of the subject matters. And quickly, besides sins being eradicated, quickly attraction for Krishna. Taste for Krishna Katha can awaken. Any discussion? Yes.
Yes.
You're making a statement, so what's the question?
I'm just trying to see what is it that I think from the side of the teachers, you know, the teachers would be given.
Yeah. Well, that's an important question, isn't it? I was having a discussion yesterday about the same topic in different context. Well, an answer has to include both receiving and letting go. One cannot receive if one is holding on to something else. So I'm holding on to my Bhagavatam, and if I want to take some water, I have to put the Bhagavatam down to grab the water. So recognizing what that thing is that's not wanted and recognizing the thing that's wanted. But it's not just an intellectual adjustment, because the intellectual adjustment, evaluation has been made, and it's not enough. As much as I may want that water, I may be, attached to the Bhagavatam or, whatever else is going on. So that it goes to the heart level has something to do with being introspective, or what is it that I really want? Do I really want this material situation that I'm holding on to tightly that is preventing me from receiving? Do I really want that? Deep down inside, is that what I really want? So those soul-searching kinds of inquisitiveness is necessary. And then the other side also, what I want and what it is that I'm being given. Do I really understand what it is that I'm being given? Probably not, because if I did, I wouldn't continue holding on to this thing that's causing me pain and suffering. Here's something that you've heard me describe this before, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this in relation to a duty of a student or a disciple or a subordinate. The exercise of very carefully assessing what is it that I've been given from different angles of vision. The very act of doing so, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, allows the heart to open. And when the heart opens, that exercise becomes empowered. It's not just, material intelligence, but it becomes then a spiritual experience of recognizing, feeling what it is that I've been given. Well, you know, one can comprehend. There's another nice word that expresses the same, carries the same meaning. One can. Anyway. Enter into the mystery of what it is that I've been given, because otherwise, it's just another thing and another thing and another thing. Like, you know, a selfish person or a selfish child receives so many things, it doesn't even acknowledge those so many things. Just, you know, goes from one thing to the next thing and to the next thing, and I need another thing. And there's no acknowledgement of what that thing is that's being given, what to speak of the person who's giving it and the spirit of the person who's giving it. One, love doesn't enter into one's heart if it's just everything stays on the material platform. So it's the, one can go to the heart level if this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's recommendation. From different angles of vision, make the effort to try to understand just what is it that I'm being given. And then magic starts to happen. The heart opens and realizations come. And then feelings connected to those realizations come. And, you know, the source becomes a very moving object, you know, heart-moving object of appreciation and affection. And when that's there, when that channel is open, that compels behaviors. It's more compelling than obedience. Love is more compelling than obedience. Although it may start with obedience. Anything else? It's not exactly that you know, it's not like cubicles. Here's a bin, and then when this bin fills up, then you can start putting something in the next bin, and that one fills up, and then you, so it's not like that. That so separated like that. Something over here, and something is already happening over here. So there's a crossover, but to help us understand the process, this sequence is also described. So there's overlap, not just rigid differentiations. And it's the same for all the nine processes. Yes.
I have a follow-up question. Basically, you know, thinking about what you've been given, and I end up considering in terms of how being in the position of the devotees are. It makes my material existence comfortable. I try to make the material world a comfortable place. And I'm not, you're getting some help defining what you can do. That's what the material that I can consider. What is the material's good for you?
Well, the gift is Krishna. And with Krishna, that means so many things, you know, with access to Krishna, with the means of approaching Krishna, the opportunity to awaken genuine spiritual emotion, which in the material condition is anesthetized, is completely covered. There's no spiritual emotion. There's just the emotion of gain and loss, or, you know, pain and pleasure, but not spiritual emotion. So we're like dead. So we're being given life. You know, like a child can look to their mother and father and say, "You gave me life." And before you gave me life, you know, where was I? So in this case, it's spiritual life. The real life of life. So mothers and fathers can give life, but spiritual teaching can give the life of life. Vidyavadhu jivanam. Go back to the starting point and say, what is the gift? Is Krishna. So then, you know, contemplate on that a bit. What does the gift of Krishna mean? Krishna in the form of the holy name, Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna in the form of Prasad, Krishna in the form of the deity, Krishna in the form of access to Krishna through devotion. That which one can never understand unless it's given has been given. Krishna can disclose himself, or through Krishna's devotees, Krishna can allow himself to be disclosed, and Krishna has, that's the gift that's been given. You know, the sacred door has been unlocked and opened, and you're in the beckoning is to enter inside. That's what's been given. Come out of illusion. Come into the light. That's what's been given. The opportunity for all of that. So, it's not, the purpose of all of that is to make your material life comfortable. Although that may be, you know, that may be the consequence. But it's certainly the gift is far more than that. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.